Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, July 7th. I'm Sarith Hawk. The prominent Fresno developer Darius Assemi and his company Granville Homes are at the center of a new whistleblower complaint.
Basically, the Assemis were keeping yes men around them to basically not report to banks how cash insolvent they are.
The complaint was filed by the company's own former chief financial officer. We speak to Fresnoland reporter Gregory Weaver about the explosive claims. But first, these news headlines. A candidate for the Fresno City Council is defending himself after attacks over his work as a federal prosecutor. Rob Fuentes has confirmed to KVPR that he has quit his job as a federal prosecutor and that he was, quote, pushed out by the Trump administration. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado has this report.
Rob Fuentes says he has never worked on a deportation case. He was forced to respond to accusations by the community group Fresno Resistance that he has. But Fuentes called that misinformation. He told KVPR he was placed on leave last month, one day after his criticism of ICE was made public. He is running for the Fresno City Council's 1st District. The public dispute has led to calls for him to resign from his job, also as the president of the State Center Community College District. Fuentes says he plans to serve out his term. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
Advocates plan to speak out at a State Center board meeting today against Fuentes. California Republican lawmakers are asking the Trump administration to stop a so-called health care premium tax from taking effect. The health care tax affects commercial and Medicaid health care plans. The revenue from the tax would be used to fund health services, but the tax can't be collected until the federal government signs off on it. Republicans say the tax would be a burden on consumers, and the federal government should deny the request. Speeding up California's oil drilling permit process is the goal of a new bill in the state legislature. It forces state regulators to make quick decisions and set strict deadlines, ensuring oil companies don't wait years for a decision. The author is Bakersfield Republican Assembly member Stan Ellis.
This bill, very importantly, does not weaken environmental review whatsoever. This bill is clerical and basically speeds up the timeline to get a permit issued.
But opponents say the bill endangers low-income neighborhoods and communities of color in areas like Kern County. Juan Flores is with the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment.
They live next to active oil wells and continue to experience higher rates of asthma, respiratory illnesses, headaches, nosebleeds, and other health concerns associated with prolonged exposures to air pollution from oil and gas operations.
The bill has passed the Senate Natural Resources Committee. It heads next to Appropriations. California is pumping millions to fight back an invasive species along one of its most important waterways. Golden mussels are proliferating several areas of the state, often clogging pipes and critical water infrastructure. They've been found along waterways that feed off the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. Golden mussels were first spotted along the Delta 2 years ago. The state recently set aside $7.5 million to protect water infrastructure. Sacramento, San Joaquin, and Kern counties have declared emergencies over the problem. Fresno County health officials confirmed a case of meningococcal disease. The health department says it was found at a daycare facility in the county. Officials are working closely with the daycare to identify anyone who may have come in close contact with the infected person. Meningococcal disease is a bacterial infection that impacts the lining of the brain and spinal cord, leading to severe illness or even death. Though the disease is uncommon, it can become very serious in a short amount of time. Right now, the health department says the risk to the general public remains low.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. For decades, the Assemi family has been one of Fresno's major power brokers, with millions of dollars in land holdings tied to the home building and farming industry. An explosive new report from the news website Fresnoland reveals the Assemi empire may be on shaky ground. A new lawsuit filed by the former chief financial officer of Granville Homes lays out some of this financial trouble. The former employee accuses the CEO of Granville Homes, Darius Assemi, of workplace retaliation and alleges a financial scheme to buy back farmland. It also uncovers an entanglement of debt worth hundreds of millions of dollars. In past statements published to his news outlet, GV Wire, Darius Assemi has acknowledged the financial challenges with his family's farming group, yet was quick to separate the farming business from the housing company's finances. Granville Homes is a past financial supporter of KVPR, but they haven't been in years. I spoke to Fresnoland's Gregory Weaver to learn more about the lawsuit and the allegations. He starts by laying out what financial information was uncovered by the CFO.
And so this guy works over there and basically realizes that there are loads and tranches of debt that are distributed across what I call this octopus of debt. And it's structured in such a way, according to the whistleblower, such that when a bank lends to one of the Assemi entities, they're only seeing, you know, a single arm of this octopus. So things look a little rosier than this kind of bird's eye view mm-hmm. that the CFO was looking at. He's looking at all the finances. He's looking at how all the tranches of debt are related. And so he went to the Assemis. He went to Darius and said, look, we have all these loans, agricultural loans and other types of loans. One of the things that he broke as well is that after the $700 million default, they went and got another $100 million in loans. I mean, it's extraordinary how much money that these banks are giving the Assemis. I mean, it stands as, you know, another part of the story is how exactly these banks were able to stomach such large risks. I think it speaks to how the modern financial system is really invested in land and the values of land rising. So the CFO was looking at how these banks are lending, and he's
uncovering this because he's inside now.
Yeah, he's doing his job, right? There's public California law that if like you were about to go bankrupt, if you are cash insolvent, you're supposed to bring that up with your boss. And so he was doing his job and went to Darius, according to him. And he says, we have covenants with the banks who lent us all this money that we have to have 25% more in cash flow coming into the whole octopus, 25% more than what our yearly debt payments are, right? I mean, that's like if you own, you know, $5,000 on a car loan, this contract with the bank means that you have to have $6,000 in income.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Right? I mean, yeah. It's pretty. So basically this guy goes to Assemi and says, we're not even making $5,000. You know, we're not going to be able to make our car loan payment. Mm-hmm. And basically, once he broached that with Assemi, he says, your work product's bad. He ordered his subordinates to try and undermine his analysis. Assemi ordered this guy's subordinates.
So he's accusing Granville Homes of retaliation.
Yes. And that's part of it. The other part is related to how the Granville business was connected to the farming business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want to go into that right now, but that's the other explosive part is that the home building business is what originally built the Assemi Empire. And so as all of the stories from me and other outlets have come out about these defaults, Darius on his own publishing platform, GV Wire, Darius has published these communiques saying our agricultural business is having financial problems, but our home building business is rock solid. And in one communique, he went as far as to say that they were operated independently. And so this whistleblower report basically just shows that this was not true. And in fact, what was happening was that as the Assemis were losing land to the bank creditors, they were using one of their longtime business partners as a front to buy back the land using Granville Homes' money. So that this is a direct tie, that you have Granville Homes buying land from the agricultural operation. That was implicated in this default.
He said as much as $16 million.
$16 million was the purchase price of this land. And the whistleblower said that came from operating cash accounts from Granville Homes.
So what is he saying in the complaint exactly? What is the whistleblower really saying? His name is Ryan Tonchev.
What the whistleblower complaint is talking about is not only, you know, retaliation from doing his job, which is, you know, protected under California law, but also using the scheme that they did. There's a diamond jeweler in Fresno who is a tenant in a semi building, and he's the one who was the front who ended up buying this land using Granville's cash. And what happened behind the scenes is then he just transferred the land deed back to Darius through two LLCs. The other thing, though, is that transferring this land was a violation of state and federal law, that, you know, you can't be doing this with a receiver through the receivership. And so those are the two major problems that the whistleblower alleges, is that basically the Assemis were keeping yes men around them to basically not report to banks how cash insolvent they are, and that the agricultural loan problems are spilling over into the home building business, eating up operating cash and whatnot. The second thing is that as that became worse, and, you know, they need land to keep the home building business alive, they did something illegal with the bank receivership to hold on to this slice of land in Southwest Fresno.
We talked a little bit about Darius and GV Wire and some of the communication that he puts out. He actually just put out a statement about this report specifically, not referencing you, but referencing the lawsuit. He says that Granville Homes is, quote, financially secure and has the capital to continue our tradition of developing beautiful communities in Fresno and Clovis. And he also called Tonchev a disgruntled employee. What do you make of this statement?
I think this is a move that's common in any whistleblower complaint, that this person wasn't doing their job and that this is retribution and that there's no, that these allegations are all false. None of it is surprising. It's going to be interesting as this case goes into discovery, because Granville Homes is open massively to exposure of what the true state of finances are. So this is an early developing story on how exactly the home building operation was connected to the agricultural operations. And what Darius is saying is in direct conflict with what the whistleblower is saying, which is that they don't have enough money to make their debts that are attributable to Granville Homes.
Can you put into context, you know, where does this lawsuit leave the Assemi family, Granville Homes, now, given everything they're already sort of facing?
Historically, it was home building and agriculture that, you know, were their two primary income sources. So the home building side, the larger problem with Fresno is that its population really isn't growing. And this was the opportunity that the Assemis capitalized on in the late 80s, early 90s. There was a lot of so-called equity refugees from San Jose that moved to Fresno after the big Reagan aerospace and military industrial cuts. So imagine you have a family in San Jose who's been in aerospace or whatever for a long time. They built up equity and home value in their house. And then once the layoffs happened and they needed to cut costs, they moved to Fresno, and the Assemis built homes for them, essentially, in the late 80s, early 90s. There's nothing like that on the horizon again in Fresno. And so you have other speculative developments, the big one being SATA, this 45,000 home proposal that Mayor Dyer wants to build, that Dyer's been working with Assemi on trying to get it off the ground. This is, you know, on the home building side, that's their big hope. On the agricultural side, they're just, again, between a rock and a hard place. You got agricultural loans can't really pay off. You have declining nut prices. You have a lot more well-capitalized entities, private equity funds, hedge funds worth hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars just pouring money into buying up the biggest confluence of land on the west side.
A lot of big players out there.
Yeah. So the regional power structures changing underneath the Assemi's feet at the same time that the moves that they thought 20 years ago would help solidify their reign over this power structure is rapidly eroding.
Wow, lots to untangle. Gregory Weaver, reporter for Fresno Land, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you so much.
In his statement posted to GV Wire, Darius Assemi disputed the whistleblower's claims and made assurances of the strength and stability of Granville Homes. Assemi acknowledged that his home building mission has been, quote, complicated by misfortune in the farming operation. Assemi goes on to say that the farming entities are working with, quote, federal receivers, lenders, vendors, attorneys, and potential buyers to make things right. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.